Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the All Access edition of the ProWrestling.net podcast. My name is Will Pruitt, and I'm here to guide you through the treacherous path that is the March 22nd episode of TNA Impact Wrestling. Before I get started on how truly awful this show was, I want to give a quick plug to the ProWrestling.net members site. On the members site, you're going to get first-run news. You're going to get a whole lot of audio, which I know you're into because you're listening to this podcast. You're going to get the .NET Weekly audio show and the .NET Countdown audio show. .NET Weekly is Jason Powell and Chris Shore breaking down the news of the week and often breaking first-run news in that audio. And the .NET Countdown is myself and Jake Barnett, who you hear on the SmackDown All Access podcast, chatting about the top five and bottom three moments of every week in wrestling. Both member exclusives. Very rarely do they show up on the free side of things. Plus, you get member-exclusive interviews, which I know Jason's been talking about some interviews that are going to be happening soon, but interviews that we already have. Dutch Mantel, former TNA creative team member. Court Bauer, former WWE creative team member. Seth Mates, former WWE creative team member. Former WCW and TNA wrestler Conan. We've got Don Marie, Sean Waltman, Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho. We got a whole lot of people rocking audio on the site. It's definitely worth it. Plus, you get ad-free access to the site, access to the .NET members forum where you can interact with the staff, other forum members, and you have the ability to write your own blogs. Pretty much a whole lot of stuff for the price that goes as low as $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. I can promise you, if you get it, you're not going to regret it. Maybe you're just kind of casual and you just want to try this thing out going into WrestleMania. That's chill. $7.50 for a month. Boom. You're going to be covered for WrestleMania and beyond if you sign up right now. And it is well worth it, guys. Go ahead and check it out. ProWrestling.net. All right. Now that I've got some of that out of the way, this episode of Impact sucked. Like, it thunder sucked. It was horrid. You know how sometimes you watch TNA and there's hope. There is hope. There is a light at the end of that tunnel and you can feel it. You can see it. It radiates and you know that something good will happen. Well, there was no light at the end of this tunnel. There was no, ooh, something good. This was like those episodes that you watch and you just go, what year is it? And why? I mean, this show just, I'm going to start from the beginning. Because the main story of the show was Hulk Hogan returning to become the authority figure in Impact Wrestling. And that was, you know, kind of where the show built to. But we're going to break it down because I feel like that idea just got stupider and stupider as the show went on. And I want to demonstrate to you just how bad of an episode of TNA Impact this was. Guys, this is not going to be a positive review. It's not for the faint of heart. We're not going to, you know, have some fun and say, oh, well, this could have been good. No, I'm really quite upset at the end of, by the time I finished watching this, I was quite upset. So I'm gonna have some fun here. The show opened with a recap and a pretty much playing the entire closing angle of the Victory Road pay-per-view. You remember that really trashy thing they did to attempt to trend on Twitter where Bobby Roode, for absolutely no reason, attacked Dixie Carter, and then no one came out and helped Dixie Carter, even though most of the time in TNA, two guys cannot touch in the ring without Al Snow, Pat Kenny, and D'Lo Brown with his wobbly head coming out and separating them. But of course, you know, when the owner's being attacked, screw it. I mean, where was that Bjorn guy from the MMA company they're trying to be friends with? Or that guy from Repo Games, too? I mean, Dixie Carter is in the front row of every show with some different Spike TV personality. What the hell can't they jump over the rail and help her? Oh, I've got it, actually. Security is actually solely hired by Spike TV. TNA Wrestling, they can't afford security. Shocking, I know, but they lose a ton of money anyways. TNA Wrestling cannot afford security, so Spike TV funds the security to make the product look better on TV. But on pay-per-view, they say, screw it, we're not paying for your security tonight, and TNA neglected to have it. That's the only reasonable explanation. So, Dixie Carter was shown walking backstage, looking all emotion-filled. Then we saw the Impact opening video that I don't really like that much anyways. And Carter came to the ring looking all sad like. She grabbed a mic and said, "Bobby Roode disrespected the fans and anyone who loves wrestling for the past 6 months." No, actually, you disrespected Bobby Roode by allowing him to be booked as the weakest champion I have ever seen. Well, who the hell is champion for 6 months and doesn't get a clean win? People have compared Daniel Bryan's World Heavyweight Championship reign to the Honky Tonky Man. But I would compare the Bobby Roode Championship reign to the Honky Tonky Man. I mean, it's ludicrous. Alright, let's go on. Fans were chanting, "Fire Bobby!" And Carter said Roode disgraced the company. She spent a great deal of time thinking about it, and she's left with one option. Here comes Sting's music. And Sting is greeted with some cheers, some "You Still Got It" chants, some "We Want Revenge" chants from the crowd. And Sting asked Carter not to fire Roode. Said that was letting him off easy, without having to deal with his comeuppance. Nice word. The crowd was chanting, "We want revenge." Sting took a moment to fire him up and be like, "Yeah, we want revenge. We want the right kind of revenge." Okay. The TNA Impact Zone crowd. I've been critical of them in the past. They, especially for the last few years, they have had to deal with some crap. And they have... They've been silent a lot of times. They've been non-reactive. This week, it feels like they're back to reacting to things. But they're reacting to things like it's 2007 and they want their chance to be a part of the show desperately. Not like it's 2012 and, dear God, people don't watch the show to see the Impact Zone crowd. They're really not that special. Yeah. And Sting said that the current GM position wasn't working. Carter shook her head, "No. No, Sting, you can't." And the fans chanted, "Please don't go." And there was an awkward cut to commercial. All right, let's talk about this first segment here. What? Dixie Carter is out? I mean, A, the fact that Dixie came out with no security and all that kind of bothers me. It seems to me like after I was assaulted for sitting in the front row of a show, I would probably, you know, want to have some security around me pretty much all the time. And then you've got Sting. "Yeah, we want the right kind of revenge." Okay, so let's, this is something I'm going to be doing throughout the show today. Who is Bobby Roode in a feud with? Who is he fighting at the next pay-per-view? Yes, you in the front row. Yeah, it's James Storm. You're absolutely correct. James Storm is the person that Bobby Roode is fighting at the next pay-per-view. But now who is he in a feud with? Well, he's kind of in a feud with James Storm, but he's in a much more intense feud with Dixie Carter and Sting. So right now, just at this point in the show, in the pecking order, James Storm is the number three babyface in this feud. Number three. Remember that, because it gets lower. But Bobby Roode is the number three babyface in this feud with... James Storm is the number three babyface in this feud with Bobby Roode. That's not a very high number. And when you're going into lockdown and, you know, it's a big show, you've been promoting it for months, this is the match you've had set up for months... You can't tell me that you enjoy the fact that non-wrestling authority figures are more important than your wrestling characters. Case in point, Big Johnny versus Big Teddy at WrestleMania. Kind of a bummer that authority figures have become more important than the people in that match. But we'll get to that in a week, won't we, folks? WrestleMania week is coming! That's exciting! So, we came back from commercial... And Sting continued and said he did all he could for the company as the GM, but something happened at Victory Road. The company came alive. He said he came alive, and that's when the crowd gave him the old "You Still Got It" chant. I wouldn't say he still has it. I'd say he's a pretty decent wrestler for a guy over 50, which it's a compliment, you know? I mean, I wouldn't say he was a pretty decent wrestler for a guy over 40 when he was over 40, so I guess he's improved, but... You know, he's still not that fantastic. Sting said he could not be a part-time GM, part-time wrestler, especially if he was to compete at Bobby Roode's level. Sting said he would take time off heel and come back better than ever. Hold up, wait a minute. Sting is saying he can't be a part-time wrestler, part-time GM. Does that mean that Sting wants to be a full-time wrestler again? Is that what I'm supposed to understand from that little blurb? Because that's going to be a mistake, TNA. I want to be nice. I want to treat you well. I want to hug you. But it's going to be a mistake to make Sting a full-time wrestler again. He doesn't need to be in that role. He's pretty much given all he can to the company in that role. But Sting said he has a replacement. That's right, folks. He has a replacement. He has a replacement for himself as GM. Now, I know what some of you are wondering. You know, Dixie Carter's at the front row of Impact a lot with Bjorn Vanderschlut, the head of Bellator. You guys are going to complain about this. The head of Bellator Fighting, and with the guy from Repo Games, and the guy from MMA Uncensored, and everyone and their mother is sitting at the front row of the Impact Zone with Dixie Carter. Can't Dixie Carter just make matches herself? Is it that tough? I mean, this whole wrestling authority angle thing. Isn't it mostly just going, hey, you two that are arguing in the ring, have a match. Thanks. I mean, Dixie could text that in from the front row. That's the quality of job that needs to be done. But no, Dixie can't handle it. She's too busy figuring out how TNA keeps losing money when everyone tells her that they're taking it to the next level. I'm confused. She's too busy trying to figure that out. So she needs to pass off the matchmaking responsibilities to someone else. And who is that someone else that Sting is proposing? The real Hulk Hogan. Yep. Crowd chanted for Hogan. Dixie nodded her head. And that was the end of the segment. So, we're getting Hulk Hogan back as an authority figure. Okay, how is this different than 2 years ago when Hulk Hogan was a babyface authority figure? I don't understand where the difference comes from, except Sting is now in support of him instead of trying to play a faux heel, not really heel, Sting heel. I'm sorry, I want to be positive about this, but here we've wasted pretty much 30 minutes of this show on that. 30 minutes of TV time on authority figure drama that is not getting anyone over. Sting doesn't need it. Dixie Carter doesn't need it. Hulk Hogan doesn't need it. There are three baby faces hanging out talking about what to do. And it's ridiculous. And then you've got James Storm hanging out in there. And it's just, like I said, now he's the number four baby face in his own storyline. Behind Hulk Hogan, Sting, and Dixie Carter, you've got James Storm down there. Your number four babyface is taking on what I assume is your number one heel, although Gunner is pretty high up on that list, I'm sure. But your number one babyface, or your number four babyface, is taking on your number one heel at Lockdown? How is that supposed to sell me on a pay-per-view, TNA? There was nothing about that segment that made me want to watch Lockdown, watch Impact anymore. I seriously am just sitting here going, why am I still paying attention to this TV show? This is terrible. So, then we went backstage and Bully Ray said tonight he was taking hostages and tonight was a night to stay away. We'd find out what that meant in a few moments. And then we had Zema Ion making his entrance for the first match of the night. This was odd. It was like they had Bully Ray talking and then Zema Ion came out. And they said, already in the ring, Kid Cash and Tony Nese. And then they went to commercial. And then they came back to the X Division title match, and it was Austin Aries versus Kid Cash versus Zema Ion versus Anthony Nese for the X Division championship. Now, okay, first of all, Kid Cash and Tony Nese, the hell have those guys been? They, like, what makes them deserve an X Division title shot, aside from the fact that TNA is just like, we need something to put on this show. X Division title? X Division title. Is that really what you should be doing? Is that how you make your title valuable? It's in the opening match. Not every competitor even got an entrance. And you're sitting... Oh, it's infuriating. It's the opening match. Not every competitor had an entrance. And you're just... Two guys who haven't been seen on TV for months now are getting title shots. Now, there's a way to do this and make it work. there's a way for them to say, you know what, Kid Cash and Tony Nese, they haven't made it on the Impact Wrestling TV show, but on Explosion and on the live events, they have been tearing it up. They're both on winning streaks. And the TNA Championship Committee, Sting, Dixie Carter, every single person that's in charge in this company or has some semblance of power, got together in one room. It was probably the Impact Zone because there's about 100 authority figures in this company. But they all got together in one room and said, we need to give these guys an exhibition title shot. Zema Ion was not to be denied and demanded that he was placed in it as well. Thus, this four-way match. It's a little janky, but it could work. It would work better than just a random exhibition title match. And this was some fast-paced four-way action. There was this really... I'm kind of tired of dives to the outside. I find it funny. TNA on Twitter last night published a picture of, I believe it was Tony Nese doing a top rope dive, an over-the-top rope dive onto three guys. And you see the three guys... And this is why I'm tired of these dives. You see the three guys, obviously, with their arms up to catch him. And it just bothers me. I know it's a wrestling convention. I know it's just kind of the way the business is. You're going to put your arms up to catch a guy. You don't want to drop him. But it looks so stupid when you're obviously holding your arms up like, fall on me, fall on me. Yeah. So, but this match didn't have much of an ending. Bully Ray came down after a big Tower of Doom spot and attacked Aries' challengers. Aries looked at Ray and was like, hey, are we cool? And Ray said they were, and then kicked Aries in the head. Grabbed a microphone and it said everyone knew who his name was. His name is Bully Ray, and he dropped the mic. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong here. These four men are the TNA exhibition. There's not a lot of exhibition wrestlers. Sharon Moore was just released. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin are in the tag team division. These four guys are the exhibition, pretty much. I mean, Jesse Sorensen is hurt. Brian Kendrick has left the company. I'm just trying to list more. Jack Evans might be down in Mexico hanging out for the occasional one-off. Mark Haskins is over in the UK looking like a homeless guy bagging at your local Food for Less. Yes, I know Food for Less doesn't have baggers, guys. That's part of the joke. But these four guys pretty much make up what the X Division is right now. And Bully Ray came out and attacked them. What this does here is bury an entire division. I know, and I'm not one of those guys who generalizes. For those of you who don't listen to me much, I'm not one of those, they ruined everything type of wrestling fans. I get bothered by that stuff. But this was an outright burial of an entire division by Bully Ray. And that's what I don't like about it. You don't do that to your X Division. It's bad enough that they're the opening match on Impact. I'm sorry, the X Division title should main event Impact. I know that your authority figure drama feels important, TNA, but the X Division title should be the main event of Impact. So, you know, I know that this authority figure drama feels important to you, but this should be the main event. But no, it's the opening match on Impact, and it's given 4 minutes and 38 seconds and just made to look absolutely ridiculous. I'm sorry, this was bad. And we went from bad to worse. Backstage, Mexican America was getting their car repossessed by a guy from Repo Games. Yes, Mexican America still exists in TNA, apparently. Not only do they still exist, but they're getting their car repossessed. So you had Hernandez and not Chavo Guerrero, or as they call him in TNA, Anarquia, along with Sarita and Rosita. It's so good to see Mexican America back together, right? They were backstage and they were going, no, that's it! My car! You can't take my car! And Josh Lewis is like, yo, I'm Josh Lewis from Repo Games. We gonna play some Repo Games right now. And they're like, what? And he threw out some questions. I have no idea how Repo Games works, by the way, so my apologies to anyone who is an avid fan of the show that I'm angering by not representing the show correctly. But he basically threw out some trivia about Mexico. They got the first question right, the last two questions wrong, and they said, your car's getting repossessed. And they said, no, I can pay, Just, basically, I can pay. Just let us go and win these tag team titles we have shots at tonight. Now, first things first. Why the hell do Mexican America have tag team title shots? There were three title matches on this episode of Impact, and of the three, no one in them had won a number one contenders match. No one in there was on that scale. Everyone did not deserve a title shot at whatever title they were getting. You know, and that's just stupid anyways. So, you know, more Mexican America, which I do declare is the most xenophobic act in wrestling and one of the most horrible. It makes me embarrassed to be a wrestling fan, actually. That's how bad it is. And I'm not a guy... I'm pretty shameless about how much I love wrestling. I work in theater, which is interesting, because it's a profession that does not smile on wrestling fans all that much. But there are things that I'm proud of as a wrestling fan. I've sat down with theater people, and I've shown them matches, and I say, you will love this. I promise you. Just get into the story that is being told. I've shown them Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, both of those two WrestleMania classics. And theater people who aren't into wrestling get wrapped up in the story. They get into it. They feel something for it. I've shown some theater people different Royal Rumble matches, and they get wrapped up in the fun of it, and the surprises, and all of that, and it makes them feel something. They can see where I say that wrestling is modern-day melodrama. It makes me embarrassed to be a wrestling fan that the act Mexican America exists, because of everything that I try to say is true about wrestling, and of everything that I try to tell people is the truth. This is one of the more embarrassing points of it. Because it's just stupid. And it's just playing on stupid xenophobia. And it's assuming that the fans in the first place are racist. That's what TNA is doing. If you're into this act, or if you really dislike them, TNA is assuming that you are racist. And that's why you're doing this. I'm sorry if I'm being a little too harsh on the company tonight. But look at this episode of Impact. I'm up through quarter hour three, and everything has been bad. I'm sorry. You know, there's no way to color this in a different way, guys. It was a bad TV show. Let's move on to our second match of the night. Eric Young and ODB defeating Sarita and Rosita to retain the TNA Knockouts tag titles in 4:14. Eric Young is a TNA Knockouts champion. Now, the wedding stuff with Eric Young and ODB, I find a little silly and a little cute and a little funny. I'll give them that. But Eric Young as a TNA Knockouts champion, that just kind of buries the rest of the Knockouts division. If anything, okay, they're not going to do man-on-woman violence further than where that Dixie Carter angle went. And if we're supposed to think a man is despicable for being violent towards a woman, they really can't do anything with Eric Young on that front. So, Eric Young and ODB, TNA Knockouts Tag Team Champions. All it does is make it look like ODB can beat two Knockouts on her own. And the Knockouts roster isn't that deep. I mean, they've got some great wrestlers on it, but it's not like there's a lot of contenders for the TNA Knockouts Tag Team titles. There's usually one tag team of women and one team challenging that tag team of women. So ODB and Eric Young are basically going to run over that entire division? Is that the idea? Again, this is an episode of Impact where literally two entire divisions were buried. So yeah, Young covered Rosita for the win. He was thrown on top of her by ODB. Har, har, har. Comedy, comedy. The announcers hyped more from Dixie Carter and Sting after the break. That's just what I want. Backstage, Crimson was watching a Direct Auto Insurance commercial with Matt Morgan in it. Hold up, wait a minute. Direct Auto Insurance commercials. Why the hell does Matt Morgan need to pay cash for his car insurance? Really? Why? Shouldn't I assume that he's making millions in TNA? I mean, they literally are running commercials. That'd be like a Big Lots commercial with... Let's throw in, John Cena in it. He's advertising for Big Lots going, I saved 65 cents on this almost expired can of soup. Look at that, Big Lots. That's what this Direct Auto Insurance thing is. That is honestly what they're saying about their champions. Or, you know, about these people. It's that they cannot afford soup or they cannot afford their car insurance. I know I'm probably being a little harsh, but Mr. Direct Auto, these commercials just make the company look so bush league and so bad. And we had Crimson talking about it. Speaking of bush league and bad, Crimson said Matt Morgan was trying to launch a Hollywood career at his expense. He challenged Matt Morgan to a match next week. Morgan was like, hey, let's not do this next week. And the TNA security guards that couldn't bother to save Dixie Carter from a vicious assault from a bad, bad man were there to make sure Crimson and Matt Morgan, two fully grown, fully consenting men, could not fight backstage. Jake Barnett said to me on Twitter, he said, can you name one angle in TNA that no one saving Dixie Carter at the end of Victory Road does not make ludicrous? Like, one thing that does not look ridiculous because no one saved Dixie Carter at the end of Victory Road. And I tried. I tried hard. I could come up with absolutely nothing. This angle looks silly because no one saved Dixie Carter. Where was Matt Morgan? Hell, where was Crimson? Anyone? Where? Taz and Mike Tenay, if you've got a set. There were cameramen still filming. You've got a freaking camera to hit that guy with. If a man is doing that to a woman, you don't just stand there and let it happen. You do something to stop it. Tenay and Taz recapped footage of Sting's Hulk Hogan announcement. Dixie was backstage. She doesn't know how to deal with this and excused herself. Then we saw James Storm walking backstage, and Mike Tenay said that we would hear from the Tennessee Cowboy James Storm after the break. Something on this show might get good, and it worries me. Then backstage we saw Jeff Hardy talking about how Angle cheated to win their match, and he challenged Angle to a match at Lockdown. And then Joseph Parks walked in and was like, hey, you're Jeff Hardy, right? Yeah, man, you had some great matches with my brother Abyss. Hey, can I give you my business card? I'm sorry, this Joseph Parks angle is just, it's tickling my funny bone. I'm actually enjoying it more than I probably should. And then we saw a package hyping James Storm and Bobby Roode, along with the history of TNA. Now, you know how we, a lot of times, with the Before the Bell segments that TNA does, a lot of times we say the TNA's production department tells the story better than their writers. This was no exception to that. This package focused on the fact that both men had been there almost since the beginning of TNA. It talked about how they both got into TNA, and it had some candid interviews with both guys saying what they were doing when they first got there, how young they were, how, you know, how their experience of being in TNA has changed them. It was really good. It's the bright, shining star of this craptacular show, was this video package. And the reason it was so good is it was a real story. It was two guys telling that story. It just worked. I don't understand. And it made you go, you know what? TNA had a really good thing going with the Roode and Storm story. A, they had a long time tag team breaking up. Beer Money got together in what, 2007, 2008? Like, a team that had been a team for 3 years broke up. That's big. That is something, you know, that's enough. To me, that's enough right there. You run that breakup angle, you keep them apart a little bit, you build them up separately, and then you come back to that breakup, and they broke up over the world title. What else is there in wrestling? That should be the thing that divides tag teams, you know? That is the one thing that can get between the bonds of friendship and change people, is that world title. That's all the story you need to tell. That's it. Bobby Roode and James Storm. The world title got between them. Bobby Roode changed who he was. James Storm Bobby Roode changed who he was to get that title from James Storm. That is the story you tell. That is all you need to say to sell this match. You don't need Sting. You don't need Hulk Hogan. You don't need Dixie Carter. And that's what this video package showed. You don't need those things to sell this match. Those are all tacked on because Sting, Dixie Carter, and Hulk Hogan need to feel like they're part of the show. But they don't need to be. And then we got a James Storm promo. That was okay. It was not my favorite James Storm promo. And it was him He came to the ring, said, "It seems like someone in the back forgot the difference between right and wrong." He said, "Football should be all year long." He said, "It's not right that two parents work 40 hours a week and want to take their kids on vacation, but they can't because gas is $4 a gallon." Storm said, "Of all that is wrong, and so is what Rude did at Victory. All that is wrong, and so is what Rude did at Victory Road." He talked about Storm putting his hands on someone's mom, someone's wife. He said, "A man that puts his hands on his woman is not a man, and at lockdown, he would right Rude's wrong. The crazy thing about this is that he easily could have come out and saved him. There was no forklift parked in front of his locker room by D-Generation X that would keep that from happening. Or was it the Nation that parked the forklift, guys? I'm not sure. I need to brush up on my Nation and DX rivalry from 98, right? So, then we had Bobby Roode's music hit. And a guy walked out and said he was Bobby Roode's lawyer and I'm Bobby Roode's personal legal advisor. And he put on a pair of glasses saying that Roode will remain in his home in Toronto until further notice. And that he mentioned that he's sure his client is going to win his match at lockdown. He said that his client arranged for two opponents for James Storm tonight. Is the world champion an authority figure now? Another one? Said that, and he has his pick between Kaz and Christopher Daniels. James Storm said, "Hell, I'll take them both on." And then he super kicked the lawyer. Yep, that was the segment. It wasn't bad. Bobby Roode is going to stay at his house now. He's not going to show up till lockdown. What? It's not like he's Rob Van Dam. They didn't run out of dates with Bobby Roode. This was just poor storytelling all around. And to me, that was the hallmark of this episode of Impact, was just the storytelling was poor. They did not tell good stories. They didn't tell stories worth telling. And honestly, they told things, the things that they did compromised the characters involved. Again, is there one storyline in TNA that does not look ridiculous because no one ran out to save Dixie Carter from Bobby Roode? Kurt Angle was talking to Jason Hervey backstage, and he said no to the rematch with Hardy at lockdown. He found out what people were saying about Garrett Bischoff, and Angle quickly found Garrett and challenged him to a 3-minute challenge for this week. Yep, we get more Garrett Bischoff. Then we had Garrett Bischoff versus Kurt Angle in a 3-minute challenge, and it ended in 2 minutes and 33 seconds. When Gunner ran out to help Kurt Angle beat up Garrett Bischoff? Okay, first of all, can you tell me one reason that TNA has given me why I should like Garrett Bischoff? Like, really, what is it that should make me go, "Yeah, Garrett Bischoff, that's my guy"? Is it the sideburns? Is that what I'm missing? Is that kind of where the magic is? I just don't see anything that really makes him a babyface. But this was just Bischoff and Angle having another one of those stupid little challenge matches. Then the two heels beat up Garrett. Jeff Hardy ran down, saved Garrett, and that was it. Neat. We had a Motor City Machine Guns video. I like that. And then we had our tag team title match. Samoa Joe and Magnus defeating Mexican America for the TNA Tag Championships in 5 minutes and 26 seconds. This match, it was decent. They're, you know, I don't really like Mexican America in the ring. They kind of bother me. They bother me in general. But we had Sarita and Rosita get up on the ring apron and distract the referee. Then the guy from Repo Games came out and took the women off of the ring apron and carried them all the way to the back. Once again, women are objects in TNA. Nice work. I used to think it was Vince Russo that used to approve that, but it appears that it's just what the TNA writers' room... There must be a poster inside that just says, "Women are objects, treat them as such." It's a terrible poster. Who would print that? TNA, why? So Joe and Magnus hit their snapmare for the win. Again, it was another match with outside interference, which is what pretty much every match had on this show, aside from the TNA Knockouts tag title match, and that was stupid enough anyways, on its own without outside interference. So, again, we're just getting bad here. Hulk Hogan was shown backstage. The cameraman asked him about being the new GM, and he said he had no idea about all of that. He's just there because Sting called him. Then we saw the guy from Repo Games, carrying Sarita and Rosia to his tow truck. Hernandez and Anarchia were like, "Don't take my car, man!" And then the guy from Repo Games asked the girls to come with him. And the girls, because not only are women objects in TNA, but they have no sense of loyalty, the girls said, "Well, yeah, you don't have a car. We're going to go with this guy who stole your car." That's how bad this was. Oh, God, I just can't stand it. Then we had Christopher Daniels and Kazarian making their entrance. And we had Daniels attempting to be smart and hide on the stage's side ladder. Daniels tried to jump Storm from behind, but Storm stopped him and slammed Daniels for his efforts. And then Daniels and Kazarian quickly overwhelmed him with the double team once they got into the ring. That was my alarm saying that I have laundry that is done, for those of you wondering. Laundry. Storm... And basically, Daniels and Kazarian, there was some miscommunication, and Storm hit the last call on Kazarian. And that was it. 1, 2, 3. So you had Storm defeating guys who could be pretty high up in TNA. It was, if defeating guys pretty high up in TNA, that in 3 minutes in a handicap match. Again, we're talking about just outright burying people here. And this was Kazarian and Daniels just meaning nothing in the long run. Why? What was the point of having them lose this match? I cannot see anywhere the point of this, of putting them in this match or having them lose it. I'm sorry, the logic of all of this defies me. And I know someone just went, "Logic in TNA, har har har." But I still expect it, guys. I'm an optimist. And I expect logic to come out of a wrestling show. And this wasn't that. This was not logic. This was killing Peter to pay Paul. Kazarian and Daniels are two guys who could be contenders for the world championship after Storm wins it. They're high up there on the heel roster, you know. They can get some credible victories behind them and be those contenders. But now you had Storm beating the both of them in, 3 minutes and 11 seconds. Then we had Dixie Carter Singh and Hulk Hogan walking down hallways as they headed to the ring. Obviously, these meetings can't happen backstage. Singh came out, asked Dixie Carter to join him, talked about how long he's known Hulk Hogan, said that now that Hulk's gone, now that Hulk's done away with Eric Bischoff and severed ties with him, we're going to see the real Hulk Hogan here. And Singh said he trusts Hogan and implored Carter to do the same. Carter's voice was shaky, and she said, If Sting believes in Hogan, then I believe in Hogan. And she made Hulk Hogan's running the promotion thing official. Then Hulk Hogan's music came down to his... Or Hulk Hogan came down to his fake NWO music. The boom, boom, boom that gets stuck in your head. You guys are welcome. And he hung out and just let the crowd chant his name because he's Hulk Hogan and that's the kind of thing that that guy does. Just, yeah. And you know, watching Hulk Hogan ovations on TV got really annoying 10 years ago in 2002 when they would just cut to commercials and you'd know whole matches were getting cut from the show because Hulk Hogan was getting cheered. They're fun in person, I guess, but on TV, they are not worth watching. Hogan hugged Sting and looked reluctant. Hogan looked to the fans chanting his name. Sting told Hogan he made Sting and Carter believe. Carter nodded along with. Said it was only appropriate for Hogan to hear from the people. And there was a Hogan chant, and Hogan looked teary-eyed, and that's how the show went off the air. No real resolution to Hulk Hogan maybe being in charge of the promotion, but you know that's what's coming. This was awful, guys. Once again, you're putting Hogan in there as your next babyface, and you're just, you keep bumping James Storm down. And you keep bumping Worthwhile Acts down in Daniels and Kazarian. I don't understand why. I really don't. This company, every time it looks like they're going to get on the good side of things, the right page, every time it looks like they're actually going to do something well, they don't. They really, really don't. And at first, you know, a lot of people blamed Russo. That's, you know, that was kind of the go-to guy. We blame Vince Russo for these things. It's Vince Russo's fault that no one's getting over in this company. His writing is just too erratic. It's not long-term enough. I'm sorry, this show felt like it was booked on the fly. It felt like they got their ratings in from the last 3 weeks where things were down a little bit, but they had some semi-solid shows and they got those ratings in and looked around and went, holy crap, we need to panic. We need Hulk Hogan back on TV, and we need all of these other things to happen, too. That's how this felt. Felt like a panic move. TNA is making some major mistakes right now, and it worries me just what mistakes they're going, you know, what other mistakes they're going to make as we get down the line into lockdown. They have a really good chance with they have a really nice chance to do something special with James Storm, but they're making him the fourth babyface in his own story. If the plan is for Bobby Roode not to show up, that's the stupidest thing I can think of. You know, he's a weak champion as it is, and they've booked him so piss poor that it's unbelievable. What? Why? Why am I supposed to cheer for Bobby Roode? Or, you know, even cheer for him to get beat up? Because anyone can beat him up. 14 guys should have won the title from him by now, but haven't. And that, again, if you think about how you're making James Storm look in the long run, yeah, well, he's the guy who finally got to beat Bobby Roode because the stipulation worked out that way and all of that. All these other guys could have, though. Make no mistake, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Bully Ray, all of them could be world champion right now. But James Storm got lucky. That's not a good push for anyone. Especially not for Bobby Roode. It's disappointing. This show was disappointing. This was one of the worst episodes of Impact I can remember. You know, between the wrestling being cut out and not allowed, all of the authority figure drama, and just the way that they compromise the stories that they're telling, none of it worked. I'm sorry, TNA. This was one of the worst shows of the year. This is going to be one of the worst shows of the year at the end of the year. And I strongly hope that next week you get your act, you know, your act is together, that you realize how bad this was, and, you know, that you cut it out. I doubt it, but I hope you do. Sorry, this is so negative this week, guys. I know it's a, I try my best to be positive about wrestling and, you know, to really like things, but there was nothing to like on this week's episode of TNA Impact. There really wasn't, aside from that James Storm and Bobby Roode video package. That shining star in the ocean of crap. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up for me today, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. And, like I said, WrestleMania week is coming. It's next week, guys. We've got a ton of audio, a ton of special features for you. This week, this Saturday, my blog, my fourth blog of the Streak series, The Undertaker's Streak, comes out covering WrestleManias 21, 22, 23, and 24 with Randy Orton, Mark Henry, Batista, and Edge as Undertaker's opponents. These are some really special ones. And if you want to catch up on the Streak series, you can go ahead and do that. I believe on the main page of ProWrestling.net, there's maybe the second paragraph of that little feature at the top mentions the Streak series and has links to all three of the blogs that have been written in it already. Blog 4 is on its way. But yeah, thank you guys for your support of ProWrestling.net. Stay tuned to the site. Check out the membership for WrestleMania week. You're going to want it. You're going to love it. It's going to make WrestleMania that much better for you guys. And thank you for listening. This is Will Pruitt, signing off.